So today, I want to take you on a journey. I want to analogize your life here on earth to a spiritual journey. I want to just take a fundamental concept, not something great and deep and new, dusting it off, polishing it a little bit, so it's a little more meaningful to you in your everyday Christian life. So today I want to speak to you about your spiritual journey and the pathway that God has prepared for you to follow during your life here on earth. I repeat that. I want to speak to you about your spiritual journey and the pathway that God has prepared for you to follow during your life here on earth. So, while on your spiritual journey here on earth, what is the pathway that you are to follow? What is the pathway, or the way, as it is sometimes called? In Genesis 18:19, God says he chose Abraham so he could teach his children. Now, we heard about children. That was very interesting in the first message. Teach his children. But it wasn't just like his siblings. These are more important. These were our founding fathers, spiritually speaking. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob laid the foundation for the first part of the Bible for us. So he said he chose Abraham so he could direct his children to keep the way of the Lord. The way, the pathway in life. And that's what Abraham was very faithful in doing. Now, when we hear about the way of the Lord, right, it brings two factors we learn from that. Two factors about the pathway. The pathway that God has set. First of all, it is not prepared by man. You can get rid of your books on motivation and philosophy if you're looking for the pathway to walk during this life. In Isaiah 55:9, it says, 55:9 Isaiah, my ways are not your ways. He's talking to man. Two separate ways. We'll hear more about that. Two separate ways. Then in Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25, it says there is a way, another way, that seems right to man, that seems right to us, good, perfect, proper, the way to go. But it leads to death, to death. And usually when God talks about life, he's talking about eternal life. Not just physical life. Or when he talks about death, he's talking about eternal death, not the death we all faced as humans. Now, so we learn two things. One is the way of man, but he's talking about the way of the Lord. So the true pathway, a way prepared and laid out by God, we read about in Luke 3:4. Luke 3:4. This sets forth the mission. And that term has a very significant meaning in the military. You've got a goal, you have an objective. That mission is what you're out to accomplish. You have that set way. So he sets forth the mission of John the Baptist in announcing the coming of Jesus and preparing the way of the Lord, the way that God has set forth for Jesus to follow. That was John's mission. It is down this pathway that Jesus walked during his life. So you may ask, well, that was the way for Jesus. What's it got to do with me? You know, years ago, when I first got to the college, I'd be invited to sit in with some of the ministers and counseling, and I always think of this Englishman when I read things like that. And every time the minister would listen to a story and tell him what to do, he would always answer, what's that got to do with me problem? What's it got to do? Like nothing to do with me. Okay, so that instruction is for Jesus' life. You say, what's that got to do with me? I'm just a human being here on earth. Okay, it is down this pathway that Jesus walked. So if you ask what's it got to do with you, 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him, that's abides in Jesus. Do you abide in Jesus? You better. When you were baptized, you were plunged into the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. So you do abide in Jesus, very applicable to you. He who says he abides in Jesus ought also to walk just as Jesus walked. You follow the same path prepared by God. In Matthew 10:38, and he who does not take his cross, whatever burden you have in this life that God gives you, whatever hand you're dealt with, okay, you take that and follow after me. That's Jesus' words. Follow me. Follow me. And if you don't, you're not worthy of me, Jesus said. You're not worthy. So you see how important it is to follow Jesus. So the pathway that Jesus trod in this life is the same one that we are to follow. See, that's the pathway I'm speaking about. A way of complete and total submission and obedience to God the Father. Not our way, their way. In John 14:4, Jesus speaking, and he says, and I'm going to go now, and you know the way. See, Jesus was speaking spiritually, but Thomas, he was thinking physically. He said, well, Jesus, how do we know where you're going? We don't know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way? We don't know if you're going to go to Starbucks over here or the Good Earth or, I mean, you know, restaurant, Whole Foods. We don't know. If we don't know where you're going, how do we know the way? See, he was thinking physically. Jesus was thinking spiritually. So Jesus said to him, you know the way. And Jesus said to them, I am the way. I am the way. See, not a physical way, a spiritual way. The truth and the life. The way of truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to get to the Father? You follow Jesus. You come through Jesus. That's the only way. No other way. There was this one Jewish speaker, and that's all he knew, and they kept pounding home. Well, you mean they're not going to be saved, and this is not going to be saved, and then they're going to go to heaven? And all he just keep pounding home. There's no other way. No other way. Whatever the consequences are, you see. So that's the way we're to go. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. In the NIV, and let us run with perseverance, strength, keep running, perseverance, the race marked out for us, marked out. We don't have to find a way ourselves. We're not lost in a big tract of land. It's marked out for us. That is the pathway we are to follow. We go on. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. You fix your eyes. Like if you ever play handball, you play tennis, baseball, you keep your eye on the ball. You keep your eye on Jesus. What does it say there in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? The pioneer. Now some have author in there, but the better word is pioneer. We keep our eyes on the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You see, Jesus is the perfect example of faith. The perfect example. He's the perfecter of our faith. Excuse me. So he's the pioneer. And when I read that, I think always about these cowboy movies, you know, you got the leader of the wagon train, you see, and they're going to follow him. But why? Because he went ahead. He went ahead. He blazed the trail. He went, and as he traveled, maybe on his horse and a couple of men with him and some pack mules or something, and they had to take this path. Well, that doesn't lead. That leads to a box canyon. We can't go there. He has to backtrack, try another way. Oh, that leads to a mountain. We'll never get a wagon train over that mountain. And he goes to another way. Oh, there it is. Opens to a beautiful, broad expanse, prairie land, forest, water. He said, that's the way. See, so when he went back, he could lead the wagon train. That's what it makes me think of. He was the trailblazer, and Jesus was the trailblazer. He's the one that went on ahead of us. You see that? He's the one that went on ahead of us. And he marked out the trail for us to follow that God marked out for him. In Hebrews 10:20, it says he opened the way, you see, the living way to God the Father and his throne. So Jesus Christ is our pioneer and our leader in the path that we should go. See, Jesus is the one who in the flesh, the Bible keeps saying he was in the flesh. I'll never forget some meeting again years ago. Somebody pronounced and said, oh, Jesus, he couldn't sin. I say that is absolutely false. If Jesus couldn't sin, the whole thing is a charade. He went the path, and it took him some strength and courage and self-will with God's power not to sin, you see. So Jesus in the flesh walked that path. He did to show us the way that we are to walk, the life that we are to live, you see. Now, he did it with the ancient Israelites in a different manner, by fire and cloud, different manner, but nevertheless, still the trailblazer, still the pioneer, the one that goes on to lead us in the way that we should go. He ran the entire earthly race in the flesh successfully, you see, to prove to us that it can be done, that we can do it. See? As it says in John 16:31, I have overcome the world. The words of Jesus, see. He did that to encourage us that we can in our flesh successfully walk the pathway prepared for us by God the Father as laid out in his word, the Bible. In Psalm 16:11, you made known to me, David said, the path of life. You get that? The path of life, the path that we are to follow, the way that we are to go. He laid it out for us. We don't have to bump ourselves in the head and the wall and so on as we find the right way to go in life. We have it laid out. And as the pathway that God prepared for Jesus led him to the kingdom, so if we follow Jesus, we likewise will be led to the kingdom of God as well. So how long does it take to complete this journey? How long does it take to complete this journey? Now, our journey down the pathway is not measured in miles. It's not measured in miles. In Mark 12:32-34, beautiful set of scriptures, very beautiful. This is where Jesus is asked a question by the scribe and honestly asked, not to try to trick him. You know, what's the greatest commandment? And that gives Jesus a beautiful opening, and he says what the greatest commandments are. He lays it out. And the scribe hears this and feeds it back to Jesus. He feeds it back to him. He says, "Teacher, well said." And remember, the scribes, they didn't do anything but study God's law and fight about it and argue about it and so on, you see? So they were very much acquainted with God's law. So he says, "Teacher, you know, you really answered, you answered that correctly. See? You've spoken the truth. You got it from Scripture. You understood it. For there is one God, no other, and there is no other but He. And we are to love Him all our heart, all our understanding, all our soul, all our strength." You've got to keep reading that over and over, how he's doubling down on this point. See, in the way we should think and the pathway we should follow. You see that? And you love one's neighbor as yourself. So here we're talking about the fact that it's not measured in miles. You see, how do we complete our journey? And what does Jesus say to him? He listens. I could see he paused. And he says, "You know something, scribe? You answered wisely. You repeated back to me. That was very wise." And he said, in a beautiful statement, "You are not far from the kingdom." Yeah, apparently this guy, was he converted? Was he not converted, as we would say? Probably not converted. But he knew God's word. He knew the pathway. See? "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus was not talking in miles. He wasn't talking about, "Oh, Jerusalem over here, you want to go there, you want to go to this, or over here, it's a few blocks down here or a few miles there." He wasn't talking about that. He wasn't talking physical miles. Jesus was speaking about spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, spiritual insight to know God's way and the strength to follow it. And he said, "That will get you close to the kingdom. It'll get you very close to the kingdom." See? So when do you start your journey? When does it begin? See? When do you start your journey down the pathway that God has set? Well, you see, you've already started on it. You've been on it. You've been on it. See, you commenced your journey when you were baptized, repented, were baptized, you see, and had hands laid on you and received God's Spirit. When you received God's Spirit, you commenced your journey down the pathway of God. That's when it commenced. So then you ask, well, we start our journey. When does it end? When does this journey end, you see? And it continues, right? And is completed or ends upon one of two circumstances. One of two circumstances. Your journey ends at the time of your death, when God's Spirit leaves you. Ecclesiastes 9:5. It says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing." Blank, asleep. They know nothing. And they have no more reward. But tells you what? During this life, we earn our reward by following the pathway of God, you see. Then in Psalm 6:5, "For in death there's no remembrance of God." See, no remembrance of God. So that's one way when your journey ends. And the other way, if you're living, the journey ends upon the return of Jesus, his second return in Revelation 22:12. And he says, "Behold, I am coming, and my reward is with me." You see, you're not going to earn any more in the grave. It just said that. Jesus is bringing it with you. That's it. You can't earn any more reward from your earthly life. He brings it with him. You're earning your reward on this journey by following his path. And Jesus said, "My reward is with me to give everyone according to his works." How you walk on this path of life, this spiritual journey, what path you follow, you see. So you may ask, as I continue my journey down this path that God has set, right? Do I have any concerns about getting lost? I mean, you know, sometimes you take a trip, and we went through Europe. I was always concerned, am I going to get lost? I don't know the freeways or the highways where they were going to take me. I was concerned. And then you get off and you got to ask questions in English for somebody who may not speak English, you see. So it was a concern. So if you are faithful, you see, you got a concern about losing your way. No, if you are faithful, you will not get lost, because God will show you the way you should go down the pathway of God. Psalm 32:8, he said, I will instruct you. Oh, you got a class. You got a class with a board, see? And he marks it, and he's got a speaker, one of these markers, you know, the shine on it. He says, I will instruct you and teach you. Well, we're going to have a whole class telling us the way we should go. That's all in God's word. You see that? And the way that you should go and teach you. So we got that, so we can't get lost with that teaching. In Isaiah 48:7, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who leads you. So we got instructions, and now we got leadership. He's going to take us down the path by the way that we should go. So you can't get lost on God's path to his kingdom. And another reason you'll not get lost is the pathway is clearly marked and you have an ultimate GPS system, a guide. On both sides of God's pathway are bordered. There's borders on both sides. See, if you ride in Mr. Fisher's car and you go a little to the left over the line, beep, beep, and you go a little to the right over the line, beep, beep. Amazing. It tells you when you're over the line. So God's pathway, you see, is bordered by bright, shining, fluorescent lights. They may even be flames of fire. Flames of fire to guide you down so you can't get lost, you see. The pathway is lit up by God's holy spiritual law. You follow that and you can't get lost, see. In Psalm 119:105, David said, your word is my lamp. How many times have we read that? Oh, that's cute. Yeah, that's a very cute little word, cute little analogy. No, meaningful. A lamp gives light, light from that lamp, onto my feet, and a light onto my path. The pathway is lit up by God's word. See, you can't get lost. Psalms 43:3. Oh, send out your light and your truth. And get this now. Let them lead me. Isn't that beautiful? Let them lead me. That's down that pathway to God's kingdom. You're not going to get lost. And in John 8:12, Jesus spoke and again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Isn't that beautiful? You read that so many times, and now we see we're on a journey, and God is the light. And if you follow him, you see you're not going to walk in darkness. See, but he's going to have... We will have the light of life, life, eternal life, shining for us, leading us down the way, okay? So you'll never get lost on God's pathway to the kingdom, so long as you faithfully follow his GPS system, okay? Stay within the limits of the boundary markers set forth by God. That's way one. Not to get lost. Two, listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to lead you and keep you within that pathway. And three, follow Jesus as your guide. However, If you ignore God's GPS system, you run a very grave risk of succumbing to the lust of the flesh. One of Satan's things that he uses, you see, to be shunted off. You'll be shunted off onto one of Satan's off-ramps. That's what can happen, you see. That's what can happen if you're not careful. Satan's off-ramps, they're lit up too. They're lit up with neon, though, neon. See, bright lights, arrows. Did you ever see some of these arrows on the stores and they got lights going around them, boop, 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 blinking, arrows pointing, you see? This is the way, flashing, blinking lights down Satan's off-ramp. Take this route to paradise, they say. Follow this route. You got to be careful. You don't want to be duped, you see? There's speakers blaring to lead you off into Satan's off-ramps. And they're blaring out, this is the way to fulfill the lust of your flesh to the fullness. See, there are no restrictions down this pathway, down Satan's pathway. See, if you're seeking fulfillment, no restrictions. You don't have to worry about pleasing somebody else. You just please yourself. That's all you got to do when you go down Satan's pathway and the signs say, that's it. You know, even Moses, he said he gave up the pleasures of sin. You don't think sin is just horrible and terrible. No one would do it. No, Scripture tells you Moses gave up the pleasures of sin. You see, sin has pleasure. And that's what these signs are telling you. That's what Satan's trying to tell you. You just please yourself. Do things your way. Your way, see? You're not going to hear, Satan, hear when you come down my pathway, Satan says. You're not going to hear anyone telling you about your sins. You go Satan's way. No, you're good. You're good to go. Yeah, don't worry about it. You just continue. Continue following the lust of your flesh. You see that? No one's going to tell you about the sins of the world. You don't have to worry about that down Satan's highway. Here, you're only going to hear smooth things. Things you like to hear. It says, got itching ears for things that say, you're all right. Everything's going to be well. Just continue in what you're doing. See? No, you don't go down Satan's highway. See, the big problem with that message that Satan is blaring out in Isaiah 55:9, God says, my ways are not your ways. Don't follow the ways of man. See, you follow God's pathways. And it's either God's way, to take an old hackneyed expression, it's either God's way or Satan's highway. You got to make a choice. You have to make a choice. You cannot continue down both pathways. It's one or the other. God's highway or Satan's highway. God's pathway, you see. In Proverbs 14:12 or Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to man, but it leads to death. See? That's why the ministry is instructed in Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell the people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. That's part of the mission. That's part of the mission. To lead in the right way. In Revelation 12:9, Satan has deceived the whole world. Isaiah 5:20, it says he can make good sound like evil, or he can make evil sound like good. See, you can't use man's way. You've got to look to God's word to know what is truth and the way you should walk, okay? When you take Satan's off-ramp, where does it lead you? We learn in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 in the NIV, it teaches us that if you follow Satan, It's the pathway of the world. That's the way he leads you down the road, down the pathway of the world. That's Satan's GPS system, to follow the ways of the world. See? It is not just a one-time event. Satan has many off-ramps, not just one time to be alert. You've got to constantly be on the alert. In Acts 3:10, Paul was speaking to a sorceress, had a demon, or maybe even Satan. As Satan filled Judas once in a while on a special mission, he may fill a person, but at least there was a demon here. He says, oh, full of subtlety. He kept, you know, hounding Paul. Here are men of God, here are men of God, etc., etc. He says, oh, full of subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil. Child of the devil, remember? You're children of the devil or you're children of God, see? The enemy of all unrighteousness, of all righteousness, rather, says, will you not cease? You're talking to this demon. Will you not cease? See, Satan never gives up. I gave a sermon one time how he continuously tries to destroy the church and God's people. Never quits. Right to the end, he has to be subdued, you see? It says, will you not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? The way that God has set out for us to walk. And she's trying to pervert, take you off into Satan's ways, you see. In Proverbs 4:14, you're going to get this one down. Proverbs 4:14, do not enter the path, right? The pathway. The road, the pathway of the wicked. Don't take Satan's off-ramps. It's just what God says. Do not walk in the way, the pathway of evil. Avoid it. God keeps talking. He keeps doubling down. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. See about our spiritual journey? Do not, you get the word, you keep pounding it home. Turn away from it. It doesn't end. And it goes on. And pass it by. You're going down God's journey. Don't turn off Satan's pathway, Satan's off ramp. He just says there, Proverbs 4:14. Read it, see. You see, God's Spirit does not compel you. He doesn't make you. He doesn't destroy all of Satan's off-ramps and say, you can't go anyplace else. I'm putting big walls up where you can't get off. No, that's not God's plan, spiritual plan of salvation for us in the flesh. He's got a plan, and Satan is part of it, you see. So God does not compel you to stay on this pathway. He leaves it up to you to choose. That's part of your character building. You choose the pathway you're going to follow. In Jeremiah 21:8, thus says the Lord, behold, I have set you the way of life and the way of death. You got a fork in the road. You got the pathway of God and you got Satan's off ramps. And he just tells you so clearly, I've set before you the way of life, the way of death. You make the choice. It's up to you. Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to stay on the pathway and serve God? Or you're going to take the off-ramp of Satan and serve Satan? You can choose God's pathway, and it leads to the kingdom and blessings and eternal life. Or you can choose Satan's off-ramps, and it ultimately leads to suffering, pain, sorrow, and maybe even eternal death. God warns you ahead of time, and he encourages you. He pleads with you to follow his pathway. In Deuteronomy 30:15-20, he says, choose life. You have a choice. Choose life. Take my pathway. Don't take the pathway of Satan. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says, everything that was written in that we call the Old Testament was written for our instruction, for us to learn. I get so sick in my heart when they say, oh, that's the Old Testament. You talk to people not in the church. Oh, that's the Old Testament. It was written for us. It was written for us. That's why Stephen, when he died, he said the commandments were given to us, the Christians. So everything written is instruction for us. See, and what do we read there? What do we read? What do we learn? We learn from the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel. What do we learn? It's how they were brought down because of sin. They followed Satan's way, and sin brought them down as nations and led them into captivity. You see? And because of that, we're given some very, very beautiful, sound advice. In Jeremiah 31:21. It says, consider the road or the pathway by which you went into exile. See, stop, think. Think, he's talking to these nations now, and for us today, consider what they did that brought him into exile. It was sin in general, you see, but it was disobeying God, having another God. It was not helping the orphans, not helping the widows. It was cheating and stealing one another, see, from one another, and so on. That led him in, not keeping the Sabbath day, the holy days. It led him into captivity. That's what he's telling you. You look back there and you read, you follow the pathway of God and not the way of Satan, in other words, okay? So consider that. This means you stop and think about the sins of Israel, and they brought you into captivity. See, what happened? See, so you have to ask yourself, what is going to be the consequence or the outcome of your actions day by day or the decisions that you make? See, that's good advice now he's giving you. He says, consider that. So you have to stop and think, where is my actions, my decision? What's the consequence? Where is it going to lead me of everything I decide? Consider, is your lifestyle, your worldview, is it taking you down the pathway that God has prepared into his kingdom? You got to ask yourself, or is your lifestyle, is your worldview, taking you down the pathway that Satan has prepared into his kingdom? Which path are you going to follow? Choose. Don't take Satan's off-ramp. Stay on God's path. Then you may ask, is God's pathway that we are to journey on smooth? Is it level? Are we going to be comfortable without incident? Nice, open freeway. Stop, you know, have a cup of coffee, a little lunch. No problems? Is that going to be our journey? Matthew 7:14 tells us, narrow is the road. Road, you get that, the pathway. Keep talking about this pathway and the roads. Narrow is the road, the pathway that leads to life. Now the problem with that is that narrow is not the best translation, you see. It's not the best translation. The Greek word has the meaning to press as grapes. Now when my mother was living and was ill, we had a power juicer. It pressed. So we'd wrap this cold cloth around a bunch of either vegetables or fruits, put it in there, press a button, and all the juice would pour out. And you open that cloth and there's nothing left but pulp. Absolutely squeezed dry, see? And that's what the word is. Press as grapes. Press hard upon trouble and distress. In other words, tribulation and persecution. That is along God's pathway. That is. There are numerous scriptures along this, okay? Acts 14:22, Paul exhorts God's people. We don't want to hear this. These are hard words. We want to hear the soft things. We want to go, oh, well, why did he talk about those hard things? Why don't he say something nice? See? It says right here in God's word, Paul exhorts the people to continue in the faith. Don't leave it. Hold on to God. Stay on God's pathways. In other words, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. You see, most of us, we really don't know what tribulation is. But the Bible seems to keep speaking it's coming. So we got to be prepared for it. We got to be prepared. See, one thing, when the receiver came in the church, I know that's history, but things were chaotic. Nobody knew, what's going on? What's happening? This receiver took over God's church. Well, what sins have they committed? And the police running all over the place, you see. Police down in the Rose Bowl ready to come in and arrest people and so on. Police banging on doors, let us in. And the woman said, this can't be of God. This is confusion. This is confusion. See? It can't be of God. It has to be of Satan. Hence, I'm leaving. See? The persecution came, and she couldn't tell the difference between persecution of God and the way of Satan, that Satan was bringing tribulation, you see. So we got to be careful. We have to think about it. We can't close our mind to it. In John 15:20, Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his master. You're not greater than Jesus Christ, nor am I. Okay? He makes that clear. If they have persecuted me, the greater, they will also persecute you. If you stand for the word of Jesus, and you got to be reading the papers today, you got to be watching the news. You see? You got to be watching what's going on with the leaders of this world. You say, oh, politics. No, not politics. No, I'm talking prophecy, not politics. No politics. That's where persecution comes from. When the state has the power. When the state has the power, you see, that's where persecution comes from. So we are warned that God's pathway to the kingdom does include times and trouble. 2 Timothy 2:13, and you must endure. You must hold on. You must endure hardship as a good soldier in Christ. Yes, you're sent out for guard duty, and you're cold. It's midnight, and it's freezing out, and you're cold, and you're hungry, and you're tired. But you endure it because you're a good soldier. Be a good soldier of Christ. Remain faithful down God's road, regardless of what happens. 2 Timothy 2:12, if, we endure. If we take all of that suffering, we will reign with him. It's not free. It's not coming easy. Salvation is free. But this idea, there are hardships when I say that. In Mark 13:13, and you will be hated for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Endures. You don't quit. You go down God's pathway. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be bumpy sometimes, you see. But you endure to the end of that journey we talked about, and you shall be saved. These are good words of encouragement. Now, why is it there has to be trials and tribulations and persecution? Why? Why is it? Why not just a smooth road? Okay? Why? Because God's ultimate source is testing. He wants to know if you're qualified in your heart to be in his kingdom. Okay? And testing, he has learned, apparently, he has learned that this is the way to test the physical people on earth. You give them trials, you give them tribulations, but testing, you got to test them, you see. It's God's ways of knowing if you really and truly in your heart say, I am going to obey you, God. Put me in your kingdom. Help me inherit your kingdom. and I'm going to remain faithful to you. I'm not going to be like Satan. And he wants proof of that. So he's going to test. He's going to test. And remember, this testing, to remain faithful to God and on his pathway, is for the good times. Now, that's not hard at all. In fact, he warns you, in the good times, make sure you don't forget me, you see. So that's another way you could lose God, not follow the pathway. So we've got to remain with God in the good times. Two, we've got to remain faithful to God and faithful and trust in him in the bad times, when things aren't going right. Talk about persecution, etc. When there's fear and whatever, we still got to trust in God and keep walking down that pathway, see? But there's a third thing we got to be careful of that I've kind of absorbed from life. We got to remain faithful to God when he seems far off. When he's far off. When you pray about something and it doesn't come to pass. You don't get an answer. You say, God, is there a God? Is there a God? Maybe that comes to your mind. You see, you can't let that thought take root. You got to cast it off and say, I am going to trust in God. I don't care what happens. I don't care how bad it gets. Read the Psalms. That's what David said. Think of Jacob. You see, he wrestled with the angel. Change my name. Angel, get off of me. Get off. I'm not going to get off of you. I'm going to hold on to you. No, get off of me. No, you changed my name. I'm going to hold on. Finally, bang, he had to knock out some hip joint or something. He wouldn't let go. See? And we can't let go of God. Remain faithful to God, regardless of it all. That's the thing. Good times, bad times, and when he seems far off. And the one reason that God is testing is that words alone are not sufficient. Oh, I love you, God. Oh, God, I'm so much in love with you. And then pretty soon the person's gone, left back into the world, you see. No, testing is, the words are not enough to prove what's in your heart. See? That is why God says in Matthew 7:21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to get in the kingdom. It's more than words. Words aren't good enough. And a beautiful example, beautiful. Mark 26:35. Peter says to Jesus, oh, Jesus, even if I have to die with you, oh, what bravado. I will not deny you. Boy, that's macho. And so said all the other disciples. They said, boy, that's really making points with Jesus. Hey, us too, Jesus. Yeah, even if we die, boy, we're going to remain faithful to you. That's words we're echoing, right? Echoing. And then we read where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and along came the rattling of the troops, their armor, right? Their steel swords maybe flashing as some had them out just in case, shining of spears, as they say, clanking of armor. When a platoon moves out, you hear the web gear, the canteen or the rifle hitting the canteen or so on. And all that sound came. Things were different. And they grabbed Jesus and they carried him off. And what happened? Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Right? All. Right? So the lesson is clear. The old adage, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. That's why God gives testing, to find out if we're really going to be faithful to him. In James 2:20 and 26, faith without works is dead. You need a living faith to get into God's kingdom. And you got to prove it by your works. See? And God gives it to you. You don't earn it. He gives it to you. But you got to be sure that you're going to obey him and follow him. Okay, so when you finish the journey down the pathway of God, what awaits you? What will it be like at the end of your journey? When Jesus finished his journey, he came face to face with God the Father. And God the Father exalted him above everything. Okay? Now, we will come face to face too with God the Father, but chances are, I don't want to make a, that may be 1,000 years later, you see. We may have to wait 1,000 years for that. I'm not taking a position on it. I'm saying it's possible. But the one thing that's for sure, at the end of our journey, we will come face to face with Jesus Christ. In Romans 14, it says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. So we're all going to come face to face with him. That's going to be the end of our journey. Be nice meeting him. Remember, that's the judgment seat. So we got to make sure we have a good record when we get there and stand before the judgment seat. See, when you go to court, you know, they got the, it's like you had a podium here. The judge sits up in this big, big chair, big, tall back to it. See, big, big podium. This is minuscule to him. Big. And you look down at you, you see, and you realize this guy is in charge here. You see that? The black robe, different than all the others, suits, etc. So that's where we're going to meet with Jesus. And it says in Romans 8:17, we're going to be joint heirs. That talks about inheritance. We're going to inherit something here. And joint heirs with Jesus. Revelation 5:10, you're going to have this, you're not going to have the same power and authority as Jesus. That's been given. He has that. We're always going to be under Jesus in whatever we do. Okay? But nevertheless, we're going to be given offices the same as Jesus is given offices of being a priest and a king. You see? So that's what we're going to find at the end of our journey. In Matthew 25:21, it says, what are we going to hear? Well done, my good and faithful servant. There'll be wonderful words to hear. And as you trod down the pathway of God, have that in mind, that that's part of the joy that you're looking forward to, okay? You're faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. In Matthew 25:34, come, you blessed of my Father, blessed of God the Father, inherit the kingdom. Inherit it. It's going to be given to you. You inherit it. Okay? Prepared from you from the foundations of the world. And in John 10:9, Jesus is the door. He's the gate. He's the door. We enter into this kingdom. There is no other way. That's the way that God has prepared. That's the way that God the Father says, this is my plan. And if you want to come to me, if you want to come to the kingdom, you follow Jesus. You follow my word. Then I guarantee you, you're going to be in the kingdom, you see. In Psalm 118:20, in the Christian Study Bible, it says, this is the Lord's gate. See, Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the door, right? This is the Lord's gate. The righteous will enter through it. That's what's waiting for you and me at the end of our journey, our spiritual journey here on earth. So in conclusion, Proverbs 4, you got some words of wisdom here that God gives us on our journey. Keep in mind, along with the other scriptures that were cited, some very helpful. You've got words of wisdom here in conclusion. It will help you on your journey to the pathway of God. Proverbs 4:25 and 27. Again, the doubling down. Let your eyes look straight ahead. We're going down the pathway with Jesus leading, remember? And your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. What path am I on? Am I on the way, the pathway of God? Or am I on an off-ramp of Satan? Ponder, think about it. Think. And let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. See? Remove your foot from evil. That's the instruction now he's giving us. You might say in conclusion here. See? Remove your foot from evil. Deuteronomy 5:32. Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you down that pathway, right? You shall not turn aside. Don't go down. He's telling you, don't go down Satan's off-ramp. Don't go to the right or don't go to the left. You just follow Jesus, his path, the path that was laid out to him, the path of God. You see, in Jeremiah 7:23, is the final scripture. And this is what I commanded them, it said. Obey my voice. That's the word of God, written. Obey my voice. And then what? The end of the trail, see? I will be your God. What does that tell you? God is not the God of everybody in the world. It's simply not the case. He's not the God of everybody in the world. Obey my voice, and I will be your God. Yes, you're not better than the rest of the world, but you're chosen. Chosen. Not better. Chosen. See, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. I don't care. Some people feel very hurt, the fact they think they're not God's people. But that's just what it says. You got to obey God. And then he's going to be your God, and we are going to be his people. So it pays us, if I can use that expression, to stay on the pathway of God. And it says, and walk in all his ways, his pathway. You walk in that, as I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Not well when you go off of Satan's off ramps. Obey God, and it's going to be well with you. Stay on the pathway of God. Regardless of what, regardless of how hard it is, regardless of how far God may seem far off, just remember, like the woman, I always think of that woman. She had an issue of blood for 30 years. Says, if only I could reach out and touch his garment, I'm going to be made whole, see? And that's what we got to do. Hard times, good times, and when God seems far off, reach out, hold on to God, stay on his pathway. Don't quit. Endure to the end.